Yeah, can you all say ice cream? Oh, come on. Ice cream.
Ice cream.
All right, now, I got one more thing to take care of. The amen corner. Amen?
Amen.
There we go. Good. Amen. All right. Now that we get all the introductions out of the way, my name is Brother David Barker, otherwise known as the Preacher Man. We have a very unique ministry. It's called Scripture Memory Ministry. What we do is we travel around the country teaching how to memorize, how to review, where to find verses to memorize, how to remember the reference. Oh, that's a biggie. I get that all the time. I can't remember the reference. Yes, you can. But it's a lot more than that. It's not how much you memorize, it's what you do with what you memorize.
Right.
So what we teach people is to apply the verses to their lives. So we teach them to memorize for answers.
Yes.
So if you have your King James Bibles,
yes,
please turn over to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139, yes, so it's all standards out of respect of God's Word. I like this. This is wonderful. Am I in a Baptist church or what? Amen?
Yeah.
I like this. They all stand. I don't even have to ask them. This is great. Psalms 139 and verse 14. Psalms 139 and verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about being fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Fearfully and wonderfully made, let's have a word of prayer. We'll begin. Heavenly Father, I cannot do this myself. I need your wisdom, strength, and power. I ask that they hear you and your word, and that your word and the Holy Spirit does the convicting, not me. We ask, Lord, that you work especially in the hearts of these dear young people. This is the future generation of America. I pray that you might work a miracle tonight in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever looked around wishing you could be somebody else? Wishing you had their talents? Wishing you had their looks? Wishing you had their smarts? I have. Believe it or not, I have. People look at me now and they look at me and say, wow, this guy's got the ability, you know, he's got this talent to memorize the scripture. No, it's not a talent. You're going to find that out. I'm known as the Bible walk, the walking Bible, the preacher man, the Bible answer man, but I wasn't always like that.
Right.
Believe it or not, I'm telling you this because some of you young people need to hear this. There might be somebody here that was just like me or similar. From the age of 7 all the way through the age of 11 and a half, the doctors diagnosed me as being mentally handicapped or slightly retarded. That's right. I wasn't supposed to finish high school. I was X'd off. I was considered a failure. I was told I would never make it. I had several names, dumb, stupid, but the big one was Jughead. That's what they called me. They called me that at home. They called me that at school. And believe it or not, they even called me that at church. My dad was a pastor, by the way, but that's what they called me. And I thought I'd never make it. And many, many times I thought to myself, why? Why am I in a home like this? I got a wonderful dad that's a great Bible teacher, and I got 4 sisters and no brothers. Some of you guys think you got it bad. 4 sisters and no brothers right in the middle of all this, you know? Yeah, and a 3-bedroom house with 1 bathroom. You learn how to get up early, real early in the morning, amen? But you know, I thought many, many times, what am I doing in this household? I thought maybe I was adopted. I thought maybe mom and dad brought home the wrong baby from the hospital. I just didn't fit in. On top of all this, my older sister Linda, bless her heart, was one of these people that you would envy, you know? She's one of these people, you know, that sit there in school and look at the books, you know, and go home and study a little bit and then go out and play all evening, walk in the next day and ace the test. Make you sick, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And then there was Margie. She was a little older than me. She had to study a little bit, but she did pretty good. And then there was me. I couldn't do anything right, let alone my schoolwork. Well, they got concerned about this, so they took me to this doctor at the age of 7. They gave me this brainwave test. I got a crew cut. My hair was a little taller than it is now, but they have these suction cups they put all over my head, gave me this brainwave test. I loved it. I got a day out of school, amen? So I went, took a nap, and when I got up, they said I could go home, but it was too late to go to school. Hallelujah! I hated school. So I went home, played with my matchbox cars and my blocks, and had a good time, and went back to school the next day. Came home in a good mood, and there was Mom and Dad sitting on the couch. They said, "Son, we've got the news from the doctor. They believe that you're slightly retarded." And I thought, okay, that's what's wrong with me. My mom looks at me and she says, "Now, David, now we know what's wrong with you. We just want to help you finish high school. If you could only finish high school." Like I said, that's the way it was. And you know what? I asked myself, why did God make me? Why did God make me? I felt like running away sometimes. Now, my mom and dad were wonderful. It was a wonderful Christian home, but I just didn't fit in. Oh, I knew the simple verse of being raised in a preacher's home. You know, I was in Sunday school the first week of my life, you know. Started the nursery, keep on going, you know. So I knew John 3:16, Romans 3:23, but to memorize Bible verses back then, Awana was good, you know, and I never could memorize verses for Awana. I was embarrassed, you know. My dad's the leader, the pastor, you know, and I couldn't even memorize a verse. I felt guilty. And you know what? I got spankings, kids. You can't get my dad for child abuse. He's in heaven, amen. But I was getting 3 spankings a day. And not only that, my older sisters, you know what they did? Oh, yeah. They would do things wrong and blame them on me, and I would get their spankings. Oh, yeah. That's the way it was. And this went on and on and on. And I asked the Lord, why in the why world did you make me? I thought, well, when I grow up, well, maybe I could do something right. But I had one love. Cars. I loved cars. Now, I'm a dinosaur. I was born in the 50s. And the cars changed in the 50s and the 60s. You know, I grew up, went to school. The cars changed in appearance every year. My dad taught me the years, makes, and models, and I kind of enjoyed that. So at the age of 11 and a half, we're going to Grandma's house. She lived in Chicago. And we lived in Streamwood, Illinois. It's about 35 miles northwest of Chicago. And we're all riding in a 59 Buick. Now, you kids aren't going to believe this, but they didn't have seat belts back then. And I survived. Wait till you hear the seating arrangement, okay? You got Linda over here looking out this window, Margie over here looking out this window, and I've got my arms way up on the front seat like this, and my sisters, Karen and Mary Beth, they're young, are sitting in my mom's lap in the front seat with no car seat, and they survived. Okay? And that's the arrangement. We're going down the highway, you know, and it's dark outside. We're on the Kennedy Expressway, and I'm doing my thing, you know, like Ford, Pontiac, Chevy. They're used to that because that's the way Jughead was, you know. He named off the cars. My mom felt sorry for me. She said, "Oh, David, you're doing such a wonderful job." And I said, "Mom, you haven't seen nothing yet. Watch this. That's a 57 Chevy. That's a 59 Cadillac. That's a 60 Buick." She said, "That's amazing." And my dad says, "This is amazing, David." I said, "Dad, you ought to know. You're the one that taught me." He said, "Wait a minute, though." He said, "How do you do this? I can't do it at night. That's pretty good." I said, "Dad, it's easy. All you got to do is look at the taillights." My mom and dad looked at each other with this funny look, and I thought, well, what did I do now? That's the way I thought. Well, I went to Grandma's, had a good time, and went to school the next day, and came home, and here was Mom and Dad sitting on the couch, just like long before when they gave me the news about the doctor. My dad said, "Sit down, David, I got some news for you." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "You're not retarded." I said, "What?" He said, "You are not retarded." He said, "Anybody that can memorize cars, years, makes, and models, is not retarded." My grandmother Barker, my dad's mom, lived 10 blocks from where the Cubs played, Wrigley Field. Guess who got to go to Grandma's house to get away from my sisters? Hallelujah! So I got to know the Cubs players real well. Matter of fact, right now I could tell you the 69 Cub lineup and what the numbers on their back were and the positions they played. Even back then, I could give you the batting averages. And my dad knew all this. He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "If you could do that," he said, "guess what?" He said, "I believe you can memorize Scripture." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No." So he sat down with me that night. It happened to be Awana night, by the way. It was a Friday night. He sat down with me and showed me a simple method of how to memorize Scripture. For the first time in my life, I went to Boys Club actually saying a Bible verse. I was so excited. You might think, well, that's nothing. Well, to me, it was. It was a big thing. I'd never done that before. That was just a beginning. You see, the more I memorized, the more God began to change my life. Amen. The more I began to realize I could do things. Amen. My grades, they started going up. I not only finished high school, but went to Bible college, and actually made the honor roll a couple of times. Amen. I think my sister Linda about fainted when she found that out. Why do I tell you this? Because God taught me some things through all this. I wondered why God gave me this background. I was so embarrassed about it, I never told anybody about it for years. The only one who knew about it was my family and my wife for many years till I started preaching for the ministry. Then I told the church one time I was at, and I was in tears. I was so embarrassed. But now I'm happy God gave me. This is going to tell you why, young people. You see, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. You see, if God had made me smart, like my sister Linda, I would have been like her. I would have had a photographic memory, say what I had to say, get my grade, ta-da, wonderful, wonderful, get my award, and then poof, out the brain it went. See? If I would have been good looking, well, then I would have depended on my good looks, you know, to get somewhere. If I would have depended upon all the talents that I didn't have at that time, well, I would have depended upon those. But see, God made it so that I would have to depend upon this. Amen. This right here. So I started memorizing Scripture. And the more I memorized, God used me. It was amazing. It simply was amazing. Because a guy that was supposed to be considered a failure wound up being the guy out of the family that accomplished the most. How did all this happen? Well, take your Bible to Psalms chapter 119, verse 9, and we'll start there. I'm telling you this because some of you sitting right here say, I can't memorize. I know what you're talking about. I used to be the same way. I couldn't memorize worth a nickel. I couldn't do my schoolwork. I hated math. I still do. I hated spelling. You know, when you get one wrong, you have to have a writer's cramp and write the spelling words again. Yeah. I know how that goes. Anyway, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to what? Thy word. What I had to do was take heed to God's word. So when I started taking heed to God's word, it started changing my life. And I found out that all my dad's rules that he had were in the Bible. You know, I thought about my dad before all that happened. I thought like this. Two, three, four, hiya, dad, take out the trash, get him a glass of ice water, up, two, three, four, hup. And I thought, I can't grow up so I can sit in my easy chair and my son can bring me a glass of ice water. That's what I thought. And then I started memorizing Scripture. And I found out that every single rule Dad had was found in the Bible. Amen. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Then he had the nerve to teach me Ephesians 6:1. Yeah. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yeah. He went on to say, David, did you know every time you disobey your mom and dad, you're disobeying Jesus? Ooh. Every time you talk back to your mom and dad, you're talking back to Jesus. Ooh. Ouch! Yeah. It cleansed my heart. So I memorized more. And the more I memorized, the more God could use me. It was just that way. And I found out something. God's word literally changed my life. Amen. Now take your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, please. Go to the next step. Shortly after my dad started teaching me how to memorize Scripture, I was about 12 years old, finding out I could learn and enjoying it very much, but still considered myself a failure, asking why in the wide world am I here and what does God want to do with me? I thought I was going to be a wheeling in the car salesman. You know, you can't get to heaven in a preacher's car, the poor old thing won't go that far. Well, I was going to change all that. See, I was going to have this big car dealership and get the pastor a brand new car every year, you know. And those missions to come through in the rattle trap things, you know, with the rusted out vans, the ball tires. Well, let's get them a brand new van for deputation, you know, and all that. That's what I was going to do. I had it all set. Well, I went to camp, and they had this special speaker named Bob Swanson around a campfire. I love campfires. Romans 12:1 was his text. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I'd heard that verse 1,000 times. I'm a preacher's kid. But that night, he made the verse come alive. He said this, you need to give yourself to God as you are. Accept yourself who you are and accept to God as you are and let him take over. I never thought of it that way. I thought God couldn't accept me till I started getting A's in school. I thought God couldn't accept me till I had 400 verses memorized. That's what I thought. No. He said, give yourself to God as you are, a living sacrifice, and let him take over. That night I did that. I had a long talk with Pastor Swanson, good friend of my dad's, by the way. And you know what? I'm so glad. I went back to school that fall. Things started happening. In English class, we had to write poetry. So I wrote a poem and handed it in. Went on to the next subject. The teacher calls me up to the desk. I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. The teacher is looking at my poem and she said, David, did you write this? I said, yes, ma'am. It's terrible, isn't it? She said, no. She said, I think it's the best in the class. I think you have a talent here. I didn't know I could write poetry, but now I use it all the time. Matter of fact, I have Bible quizzes of poetry for them. I have my back table at Brother Thornsley's church. It's really neat. And then I was wanting to play the piano. My sister Margie plays really beautiful. So I sat down one day with one finger and started playing and punked out When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And I always do this when nobody was around. Then my mom was out hanging out clothes and I did it and she came in and caught me. And she said, David, you have a talent here. I said, I do? She said, yes. So my mom encouraged me to play the piano. I play by ear, by the way. I do special music and offertories. My dad encouraged me to memorize scripture. And then I found out I could sing and started harmonizing with my sisters. I was like a car that had all these features. I didn't realize they were there until I gave everything to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. We had that verse on our piano at home and my wife put underneath it, God can heal a broken heart, but he's got to have all the pieces. It was amazing. I gave everything to God and all of a sudden I got all these talents. I also do impersonations, by the way. Oh, yeah. I do all kinds of things, like the great kazoo, you know, dub, dub. Some of you don't even know what that is. Anyway, I used to do all kinds. I could do Billy Graham, you know, some of the presidents, all kinds of stuff. You know, make a commitment to Jesus, you know. Anyway, what I'm saying is I use all this now for the Lord, every bit of it. But I never realized I had all this. And I found out something else. Now take your Bible to Psalms 119, verse 133. My dad taught me something very important in the next step. After I gave my life to God and got serious about learning my Bible, this happened. Psalms 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He said, David, now you need to learn how to memorize topically, but not only that, depend upon God's word for all the answers in your life. For wisdom, strength, and power. Went on to say, David, even though you're in a preacher's home, you can't go on my coattails. You've got to have your own relationship with God. You've got to get your Bible and depend upon it for the answers and have a real relationship with your Heavenly Father. So glad he told me that. Amen. And I did. And the more I memorized, God would use me. I remember my dad took me visiting about 6 months later. We were sitting there in his home, and these people had all these questions. And my dad said to me before we got there, he said, "Now, David," he said, "I want you to listen to the questions they have and see what verses you would use to answer them." So I sat there, listened, and I was amazed how my dad could fire the verses, chapter and verse, boom, 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 boom. And I thought, I want to do that. I went home and started memorizing just like that. 6 months later, went visiting with my dad again. And the next time they asked the question, you know what happened? Pick me, I got it, Dad. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Yeah. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in a new season, how good is it? Proverbs 15:23. Amen. I'm telling you, I was so excited. For the first time in my life, I actually had answers. For the first time in my life, I wasn't called dumb and stupid. I had answers. And people were responding. And people were getting evicted. And people were getting saved.
Amen.
You know what happened? It drove me to my Bible, young people. I wanted to memorize more. By the time I got to high school, I went to a public school till my senior year of high school, by the way. I was had my own ministry. Every night after school, we had the big three. There was me, there was the Jehovah Witness, and there was the Pentecostal named Jim Monroe. We called it the Monroe Doctrine. And we would have this round table discussion because the table was round waiting for the bus. We'd have a debate every night. Boy, did I learn a lot. And I learned that the more I memorized, the more answers I had. And the Jehovah Witness happened to ride my bus home. Yeah. Well, one night we're sitting in the front seat. Keep in mind, this is public school. And he's going on and on. I'm firing all these verses. And all of a sudden, the bus driver turns off the radio. And everybody says, "What happened?" She said, "Quiet." She said, "I got to hear this. This is getting interesting." So we kept on firing verses and answering his questions. And he got off. And after he got off, this is what's exciting. Everybody started asking me all these Bible questions. Yeah, for the next 20 minutes before I got off, I was answering all these questions, you know. Chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. I found out something. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear."
Yeah.
By the way, that Jehovah Witness got saved.
Amen.
I got his Bible in my heresy file, amen. Yeah. Well, by the age of 16, I was preaching on Sunday nights. By the age of 17, I was preaching in youth groups. By the age of 19, I was filling pulpits. Amazing, isn't it, for a kid that wasn't supposed to amount to anything? Then I got done with Bible college, and I thought, okay, I'm going to be an assistant pastor somewhere, and then God's going to call me in evangelism, and I'm going to be happily ever after. Wind up getting a job at the largest prison in Indiana, Westfield Correctional Center. You know how long I was there, young people? 18 and a half years. I call it 18 years extra Bible college. But God knew what he was doing. You see, 2.5 years in, this ministry started. But I'll tell you how. You see, when I walked in there and they found out who I was, they said, "Well, even though you're a preacher, you're not allowed to carry a Bible in here because it's non-state related material." Can you imagine that? A preacher in a prison without a Bible. I said, "However, the inmates are allowed to ask any question they desire. It's up to you whether you answer it or not." Well, I wasn't in the trenches or back in the dorms here more than 1 week, and I was working midnights, and this Christian officer was working with me. Started asking me Bible questions. I started firing the answers from memory. He was really impressed. He told the inmates the next morning when they woke up, and they started asking me questions. Boom, boom, boom. It caught on like wildfire all over the institution. Then they gave me the name Preacher Man, and it stuck. Before you know it, I wasn't Officer Barker anymore. I was Preacher Man. And everywhere I went, I was answering question, question, question. Muslims, devil worshipers, agnostics, Jehovah's Witnesses, so all completely from memory. During the 18 years I was there, we saw devil worshipers, Muslims, agnostics come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Even Pentecostals. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But about 2.5 years in, God led me to start Scripture Memory Ministry because I saw the value of what I was doing, what God wanted me to do. I had a lot of time off from the States, so I traveled a lot with the time I had off presenting this ministry. Then I left the prison in 2007 to do this full time. Why do I tell you all this? Because I was a guy that couldn't make it, young people. I was X'd off. Now, this is the neat part. In Bible college, I still envied people. You know, the ones that were good looking, the ones that were talented, the popular ones. Well, I had a revival meeting with one of my fellow college students that I knew way, way back from Wisconsin last year. And we sat down with each other. We asked each other what happened to all these people that we knew. Would you believe all of them are not in the ministry today? Then we looked at each other and thought we were the ones that were X'd off and thought that we would never make it.
Yeah.
1 Samuel 16:7b says this, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh upon the man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." Young people, it's not talent. It's not good looks. It's not money. It's not athletic ability. It's giving your heart to God. And that's exactly what that guy did, and that's what I did. And it's made all the difference in the world. And now I get up every morning and I have a purpose in my life. And I look back at this and people say, "I can't memorize." I say, "Oh, yes, you can. Let me tell you my story." Because they hear me preach and hear me quote all these verses and say, "Oh, you must have a photographic memory. You must have a high IQ," and my wife says, So I say, "Let me tell you my story." You see, because God gave me this background now to prove to people that anybody can memorize. Your heart has to be in the right place. Yeah, now take your Bible to Psalm 119, verse 109. By the way, I just memorized this verse 2 weeks ago. Psalm 119, verse 109. "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law." Young people, listen carefully. Your soul is in your hands. You are making decisions right now. Very important decisions. Some of you are deciding whether you're going to go to college, what you're going to do for your life. Some might have been thinking about who you're going to marry. But I'm telling you that every single day, your soul is in your hand. You are the one that makes the final decisions in your life. Yet look what David says here. He doesn't forget God's law. You got that? I'm telling you that that makes all the difference in the world, because I saw in my own church young people that were so talented, could quote verses like you could, were good at quiz teams and all that stuff, and they got to be a certain age and yeah. Let's see, one wound up in jail, another one wound up committing suicide, another one's been married and divorced. Wonderful kids, aren't they? Yeah. "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of all them that keep thy precepts," Psalm 119, verse 63. I'm so glad my dad said you hang around the right people.
Amen.
Yeah. Listen carefully. One thing I learned about working at the prison, this is going to shock some of you. I met preacher's kids, evangelist kids, missionary kids, and then these guys would walk up, "Hey, don't you to go to Fairhaven Church?" Says, "Yeah, oh, I used to ride the bus. So and so still, he was my bus captain." And then they get serious with me, and I say, "You're probably wondering why we're here, preacher man." I said, "Yeah, it did cross my mind." Two things. One, they stop reading their Bible. "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. He that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Proverbs 13:13.
Amen.
Second thing was this. Listen carefully. They hung around the wrong people. "He that walketh with a wise man should be wise, but a companion of fools should be destroyed." Proverbs 13:20. Every single last one of them said, "Preacher man, I hang around with the wrong person." And what amazed me, it wasn't just Christian people. It was all of them that got to know me, and I got to know quite a few in 18 and a half years. Preacher Man was very popular. And every one of them said, I had a friend that got me here. Every one of them. Does that tell you something, young people, about who you're supposed to hang around with? Amen. You hang around people that love this book. You listen to your mom and dad. They're not old fogies. They know what they're talking about. You don't know how many times before my dad died in the nursing home, I would come and give a big hug and say, thank you for teaching me how to memorize Scripture. You literally changed my life. I loved my dad and mom. Yeah, how much time I got left? I got to tell the story for these kids. Back in high school, I had this class called communications class. Remember, this is public school. We had this teacher. I mean, he was weird. He had this curly hair. You know, looked like he put his finger in a light socket, you know. These big, thick glasses, you know. And the way he talked, like, yeah, yeah, we're going to have a conversation today, and we're going to talk about our parents. And so all these young people in my class are all talking about their parents and how terrible they are and how they can't wait to get out of the house and how awful it is. Then they came to me. And I said, well, I'm a little different. I happen to love my mom and dad. And one of the guys piped and said, oh, I suppose you're one of these guys that still have to tell your mom and dad what time you're going to be home and where you're going. And I said, that's right. Let me tell you why. You see, my dad is a pastor, and I happen to be his unofficial assistant. And every time I go somewhere, I always tell him because I want him to know where I'm at, because that way he could come and pick me up to go visiting with him and needs me, because I happen to have all these verses memorized and he wants to use me. So I love my mom and dad. It's important to tell them what time you're going to be home and all that. And the teacher goes, yeah, yeah, oh. Never heard that one before, amen? And I learned something else. The more I gave my life to God, the more responsibility God gave me. Right. Hello? Yeah. I never dreamed I'd be traveling around the country like I am today, doing what I'm doing, being called the walking Bible, the preacher man. I never dreamed this. Yeah. Never. But what changed everything was this book right here. Yeah. And I hope you young people understand this. Because you're memorizing all these verses for quizzes, and that's fine. But the question is how much are you applying them to your lives? I ran into inmates that could quote me hundreds of verses, and then they turn around and curse like a sailor. And you go check their locker, and they got all these filthy pictures in them. I don't want to be like that. You see, you got to take heed to God's word. Uh-huh. Now take your Bibles back to Psalms 119. 104 and 105. We're almost done here. But God's put this all upon my heart. Amen. 104 and 105. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. The word precepts there is God's moral rules or God's moral way of thinking, by the way. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My dad taught me something. He said, son, never preach or teach anything unless you can back it up with Scripture. And as you begin to see, he created a monster. I'm here to create some monsters tonight. If you take this serious, like I said, it's not how much you memorize. I never dreamed I'd memorize all these thousands of verses. But God had me do it because I needed them. Because every one of them means something to me. When I memorize a verse, it's not just look what I've done. No, it's I need this verse and apply it to my life. I use it for somebody's answer, to help somebody's life, to be a good husband, to be a good preacher, whatever. I need these verses. That's why I memorize them. And after almost 60 years of doing so, you know, it kind of adds up a little bit. But I'm here to tell you, young people, that this is so important. I have one more verse to share with you, and then we'll wrap this up. Out of all the thousands of verses I've memorized, this one is my life verse. 1 Samuel 12:24. 1 Samuel 12:24. Somebody take a note, so I'm going to quote the reference again. Only fear the Lord and serve in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things it done for you. Every morning when I wake up, I think of that verse and realize that I am on special assignment and want to serve the Lord with all my heart, because I look back and I think, how in the wide world could I get to be this? Oh, by the way, my older sister Linda, Mr. Smarty Pants, she's the one asking all the questions, and I'm the one giving all the answers, by the way, from the Bible. The tables have turned. I'm not called Jughead anymore. Amen. I'm called Preacher Man. The walking Bible, the Bible answer man. And you know what? God can change your life too. I'm not saying you have to be called to preach. I'm not saying you have to be called to the mission field. I'm not saying you have to be in full-time service. I'm saying you give your life to God, and He'll turn around and show you what to do. I delight to do thy will, O my God, and the law is within my heart, Psalms 40, verse 8. God's will is always according to God's word. That's Psalms 40, verse 8. And I'm telling you, this is why I'm here tonight. Because when I was asked to preach and I heard these young people were going to be here, I'm thinking I used to be this age. And at this age, I was kind of mixed up, wishing I could be somebody else, wishing I could be talented like the person next to me, or good looking like this person, or smart. Well, you know what? All that went out the window when I learned this book. Because this is what all counts, ladies and gentlemen, right here. And if you're here tonight, you're not sure you're going to heaven, we challenge you to talk to somebody about salvation. That happened to me when I was 8 years old. So, on my dad's office, I could picture it like yesterday. He had a plaque. Only when life will soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. I look back and all the athletic people now are limping and are in the nursing homes. All the smarties got their awards. All the talented people have got their honors. And I just keep on preaching.
Amen.
And God bless us.
Amen.
And now, it's kind of crazy. The guys that got the Dr. So-and-so degrees, the one calling me up asking for the answers. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that when you learn this book, it makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
So young people, you've got a choice tonight. You can go on with your merry way and pretend that you didn't hear a thing tonight. Or you can turn around and give your life to God and get in this book and get serious and start depending upon it for answers, wisdom, strength, and power. It'll change your life as it has mine. Because I am living proof that the Word of God does change life and that anybody can memorize Scripture. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.